Everyone, I just want to encourage you. Next week, we have Gerard Hutton coming, and an opportunity to do a wedding. He's a Catholic priest, and we invited him here because he loves Jesus. And I want you to invite you, ask you to invite your Catholic friends. I really want you to go out there and people, because we are meant to be one church at the end of the day, and we've got to look past our differences. It's all about Jesus, and this guy's going to bless us. I'm telling you now, he's going to bless us incredibly. So I'm asking you, get out there, and those that especially, we're not trying to convert them, but bring them here and let God do something in our midst next weekend. Amen. Thanks, Franco. You're going to be a great preach.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I thank God for this opportunity again. I've been able to minister the word to you, and I trust in God that everything will go across as I feel the Lord has given it to me. Amen. Arthur started off this morning by saying he's been reading Leviticus, and Leviticus is about the law, and the law is like kind of brings everybody into bondage. But Jesus Christ has come to set us free, right? But what I'm going to minister to you about today is Christ has set you free, but you can get yourself in bondage. Okay? Now, I want to speak about forgiveness, the effects of forgiveness, and the effects of unforgiveness in your life. And no matter how much you've know about the grace of God, the grace of God will never go away. The grace of God is there. Jesus Christ has forgiven you of all your sin. I want you to remember what I'm saying here. I'm not here to bring anybody into condemnation, but what I want to do is I want to bring a word that's going to set you free today. There are people that are walking around they're walking around with psychological problems. They're walking around with physical problems. They're walking around with spiritual problems with people in the church. And I believe today Christ is going to set you free. Amen? Praise God. Father, I just want to praise you this morning that your word, O God, is like a sharp sword piercing down into the very heart of man and also their very being, their bodies and their minds. And Father, I want to thank you this morning that your word, O God, will go across accurately and correctly. That your word, O God, will find place in each and every person's heart. As you're going to speak to every one of us today, Lord. For none of us in this place today are not guilty concerning these things. So, Father, I just want to pray for your Holy Spirit to move and to minister to our hearts. And bring us into a place, O God, where we surrender to you. I thank you, Lord, that every ear hears your word. Every heart conceives your word, and your word, O God, finds a place as a living seed in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. The Bible says here in Philippians 2 verse 12, it says that you've got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, the Bible actually says in the New Testament that you've got to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And you know, sometimes I read this scripture and I wonder, why should I fear and tremble? Because my salvation is free. It's a free gift of God. But yet Jesus tells me that I've got to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. Now, I want to go into a little bit of depth here today, and I believe that God is going to minister to each and every one of our hearts, because none of us here are free of what I'm going to be talking about today. In Matthew 6, verse 12, it says, forgive us our debts. Mark has been ministering on the Lord's Prayer, and this is partly on the Lord's Prayer and what the Lord Jesus said. And it's quite amazing. It goes so deep. You know, and Jesus says, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Meaning, you must forgive me as I forgive. How do you forgive? Do you forgive freely and easily? Or do you find it very difficult to forgive? So you are actually praying a prayer and saying, listen, this is sort of conditional, you know. This is, would you agree with me that it says, forgive us our debts as, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, our trespasses. Letting go of both wrong and the resentment. For if you forgive others their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive and heal. Now, he says, forgive you. Your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now, I've gone from verse 12 and then I missed 13 and I went to 14. And it says, for if you forgive others their trespasses. Now, Jesus is saying this. Their reckless and willful sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive your trespasses. Right? But now that word forgive doesn't only mean forgive. It has a connotation to heal. Healing. Now this is very important. A lot of people are walking around with unforgiveness, and due to unforgiveness in their lives, they're walking around in ill health. They're walking around with psychological problems. Their whole mind is disturbed because of unforgiveness in their hearts and in their lives. If you do not forgive others, nurturing your heart and nurturing your hurt and anger with the result that it interferes with your relationship with God. Do you know that unforgiveness, walking around with hate and resentment and begrudging, affects your relationship with God? And you all know that. I'm not telling you something new now. Then your Father will not forgive your trespasses. Meaning, God cannot intervene. God cannot force you, because you're a free moral agent. He cannot force you to forgive someone. Jesus Christ has come and he has forgiven you of everything that you have done wrong. He's not taking away salvation when you're walking around in unforgiveness, but you are actually stumping God. You are preventing God from moving in the power of his Holy Spirit in the way that he would like to move through your life. In Matthew 18, verse 21, then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how many times will my brother sin against me and I forgive him and let it go? I want you to take notice. Forgive him and let it go. Not forgive him and put it in my memory bank. I think I'll keep this for a day. Right? Forgive him and let it go. Up to 7 times, he's asking Jesus, how many times must I forgive? Jesus answered him, I say unto you, not up to 7 times, but 70 times. 7 times. A day. How much patience do you have with your husband? A day. How much patience do you have with your children? I said, I know you've got all the patience in the world with your grandchildren. You know? So, up to 490 times a day, God says you must be willing to forgive someone if they ask you to forgive them. You know what? That is like an extreme amount of time. Now, if God says he expects you to forgive 490 times a day, how much more will he forgive you? Then he goes on to verse 23. It says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king who would make a reckoning with his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him that owed him 10,000 talents, which is like 130 million rand. Something like that. You know, it was like 10,000 talents is like $10 million. Now, this guy owed the king that amount of money. So, but as much as he had not wherewith to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold. His wife and his children and all that he had, and payment be made. I want you to take notice, because this man had a debt, And this is all referring to unforgiveness. Who was affected? His wife and his children and all that he had was affected because of the unforgiveness that he has in his heart. Right? Now, this is all referring to unforgiveness. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me. I will pay thee all. And the Lord of that servant, being moved with compassion, released him and forgave him of that debt. His heart, he pleaded with his heart to his master for forgiveness. And the Lord heard the cry of his heart. And he forgave him of everything. He just wiped it out. He threw it away out of his memory, right? But then something happened. That very same servant had someone that owed him money. That very same servant had someone that had something against him or something. You know, you'll take it in that vein. And what did he do? He grabbed the guy around the neck and he choked him. And he said to him, you will pay me everything you owe me. And I mean, it was only like 130 rand. And he took that guy and he had him thrown into prison for that. He put that guy into bondage because of that. Now, somebody, you may have, somebody might have offended you with something tiny, but yet you hold it against them. You harbor it in your heart. You walk around with this unforgiving spirit. After all that God has forgiven you, you will walk around with unforgiveness in your heart. And it's so easy just to let it go. And then it says, and then the Lord, after he had called, he calls the servant in now that had wouldn't forgive his brother or his other fellow servant. And he said, and then the Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, you wicked servant. What's happening is, you know, my conscience brings me into judgment. When I can't forgive anybody, I am brought into judgment. And you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired and you pleaded with me to. Should not you also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors. Right? Now, it doesn't say he delivered him to the devil. Doesn't say he put him in hell. What this man did is he brought this torment upon himself by not willing to forgive. Because unforgiveness brings torment. It brings torment not only into your life, but into the lives of people that you are not willing to forgive. And it says here, there is a period of time. But you can live in torment all your life and you can die in torment. And you can bring sickness upon yourself and you can bring ill health upon yourself by walking around in torment. And I'm going to prove that to you now. And you bring about psychological problems in your own mind and in other people because you're walking around to the depends on the extent of this unforgiveness that you have in your heart towards people. And it says, and he delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due to him. Are you willing to forgive everything that everyone has ever had against you, whether it be financial debt or whether it be coming, and like the scripture says here, it says, let me just find that verse, trespass. You know, someone can trespass. You know, how do they trespass? They get into my property. They get into my zone. This is my zone. Don't you interfere with my life. You've stepped over the line. You've come into my space. Trespass. Can you forgive someone for trespassing, for coming into your space in life? The Word of God says you must forgive them. Amen? All right, so, let me go. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Amen. So he's going to suffer in his mind and in his body until he forgives. She or she forgives. Or she just lets that horrible thing go and gives it over to the Lord. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his own brother. So I was looking up, I was like kind of Googling, you know, and checking things out on this whole thing, you know. And Google's got quite a thing, you know. So I was looking at medical students and what medical students say concerning forgiveness and unforgiveness. So they've come up with this thing that there's a decision in forgiving. Now, people make decisions to forgive. All right, I'll forgive you, Lynn, if this and that and that and that. So I'll forgive you with a condition attached to it. Well, you know, I think I'll kind of act like I'm forgiving this person, because if it doesn't, it'll be detrimental to my progress. So there's selfishness attached to this type of forgiving, right? I will forgive you if you do this for me, right? It's a selfish forgiving. It's not a forgiving that God expects of us. So it means that you haven't really forgiven. It's a conditional forgiving. And then there's another forgiveness these students talk about, and it's an emotional forgiveness. Now, this emotional forgiveness is the one that I think that God wants us to have, is our emotions are involved. Not that our emotions aren't involved in the other one, but it's very selfish emotion. It says, I will forgive and wipe it out of my memory. The type of forgiveness that the students say this emotional forgiveness is. So what I'm going to do is, for my own benefit, and because I feel better if I forgive, I'm now going to just forget about it. You know, that silly person, in any case, you know, I'm just going to leave them. Let them be. You know, the Bible says live at peace with everyone as far as you can. So some people don't want to live at peace with you, so you just got to let them go. Love them, forgive them, and let them go, because they don't want to forgive you. So I've got to choose to forget for my own well-being. I can hold on to stuff, and it's not going to be good for me. But I can forgive, and it's going to release a whole lot of pain. Now, I know what I'm talking about. I can minister on this because I've had to do it in my life. And I've had to do it as far as money is concerned, and I had to do it as far as relationships are concerned. And it's been some big stuff. You know, big money was involved and serious relationship issues. But when you let things go, you are free. You feel it in your body, feel it in your mind, the air feels more fresh around you, everything, you sleep better, you don't have this tormenting thing going through your mind all the time, and keeping you awake. So now then, I've got another definition. What is torment? It's great mental suffering. When you don't forgive anybody, you cause yourself to go into great mental suffering. Now, I'm sure a lot of you can identify already with what I'm talking about. You cause yourself to go into great mental suffering, unhappiness, and great physical pain. Brings about physical pain. Unforgiveness is classified in medical books as a disease, right? Now, yeah. I read this in somewhere, and then I went and looked it up, and I found it, and it's exactly like that. According to Dr. Stephen Stanford, chief surgery of surgery at Cancer Treatment Center of America, he says, refusing to forgive, I'll mix my pages up here, right, makes people sick and keeps them that way. Right, now this is scientifically proven, right? This is a doctor, he's a chief surgeon at the Cancer Treatment Center of America. It says, makes people sick. If you're going to walk around with this torment, you're going to walk around with unforgiveness in your heart, it makes you sick. And it keeps you sick until you forgive. And then a healing process can take place. And if you don't forgive straight away, you can in actual fact cause your body and your mind to become so bent and sick that it's going to take you a long while to get better again after you've forgiven. With that in mind, forgiveness therapy is now being used to help treat diseases such as cancer. So now the hospitals have brought this forgiveness therapy into their treatment for people. So they're treating diseases such as cancer. Now, cancer is the highlight here. There's a lot of other things, but cancer is the highlight. And he says it's important to treat emotional wounds or disorders because they really can hinder someone's reactions to the treatment, even someone's willingness to pursue treatment. Stanford explained. So the thing is this, that people don't respond to their treatment if they don't forgive. And a lot of people get treated and treated and treated and treated, and certain people respond to the medication and other people don't respond at all. Reasons being unforgiveness in their lives. Of all cancer patients, 61% have forgiveness issues. Of all cancer patients, 61% have forgiveness issues. And of those, more than half are severe, according to research by Dr. Michael Barry. So, unforgiveness triggers expressions of anger. Have you ever been angry? Why were you angry? Because you had a little bit of unforgiveness towards your husband, towards your wife, towards your children. But that's not lasting always, but it could be, right? Hatred. Have you ever had hate for somebody? Have you ever felt like killing somebody? Thinking that they shouldn't even be on this planet? Have you ever been there? Oh, you all got halos, shine them. Right? Frustration. You got violence. Have you ever felt violent? I'll get that. What can I do to get this? Can I get some heavies on him? Like, kind of hurt him really bad and he might pay me back or something like that. You know? Have you ever had anything like that? Do you have something like that right now? Are you walking around with this thing in your heart that is absolutely ruling and destroying your life and your family's life, your wife's life, your children's life, and everything around about you because you're walking around with this thing in your heart that's destructive? A lot of people have got their mental state has been so messed up because of that, they go commit suicide. They take their own lives. They turn against themselves because they don't know how to handle the issue. It's simple. Forgive. Just forgive. In Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Right? I mean, that's medical happens. I mean, if you're walking around with this stuff in your heart and it dries out your bones, it brings, you get all bent, your whole body starts bending and your bones start drying out. Hebrews 12:15, see to that no one falls short of the grace of God, that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defy many. A root starts growing within inside of your being. It's a bitter root. It's a destructive root. It's a root that gets into your system that destroys you. It doesn't stay small. It grows and grows and grows as you feed your bitterness. The Bible talks about the root of bitterness. Don't allow it, because it's not only going to affect you, it's going to affect others around about you. Your family, your wife, your children, your extended family, your colleagues that you work with. Everywhere, people are going to be affected by the way you act. So now, unforgiveness and bitterness is also translated as poison or venom of a serpent. You're poisoning others, you're poisoning yourself, and you're destroying people and everything around about you. It's like a snake bite. You know, when a snake bites you, sometimes he kills you in a little few seconds, and other times it takes a few hours for that to paralyze you. You know, just want to say, get rid of that. You know, I'm coming down a little bit hard on this, but I'm not saying you've lost your salvation. I'm saying you've lost your joy. I'm saying that you've lost your blessing. I'm saying that you've lost your blessings in your business. You've lost your blessings in your family. You might even lose your whole family because they're going to turn against you. You're going to lose your friends because they're going to turn against you, because nobody's going to want to associate with a miserable person like you. Therefore, I say unto you, Mark 11, verse 24 and 25, what things soever you desire, things, Jesus is talking here, all right? He's saying, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. We faith people like to quote that, right? Believe that you receive it and you'll have it. Say it and you'll get it. And then you say it and 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 you don't get it. And you think, well, the word of God doesn't work. The Bible says, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, condition, if you have anything against anyone, you've got to forgive them, so that your Father, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. God will not be able to work in your life because you are not willing to forgive. The power of God is stunted in your life because you are preventing it because of your own stubborn self-will. Am I preaching too hard here? Not? You know, I just feel it's such a serious subject. Right? In James 5, verse 14 and 16. Now we look at this and we see somebody's been battling, and this is a Christian. I'm talking about Christians born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you have unforgiveness in your heart and you call for the elders to pray, you better confess your sin and get rid of that sin, and you will be healed. But you are hanging on to unforgiveness. And even if they pray for you and you don't get healed and you haven't forgiven, you will not get healed. And then you say, it doesn't even work with elders. They're not anointed enough. Let me go find someone else. So then we go back to Matthew 16. Why did Jesus highlight forgiveness and unforgiveness so much? Because it plays an important role in our victory and the power of our lives in walking in victory in Him. He says, in Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15, if you forgive others, other people, when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you. Meaning, you are stopping the working progress. You haven't lost your salvation, but you're stopping the working progress of God blessing your business, blessing you in your health, blessing you in your relationships, blessing you in every area of your life. You are stunting it because of your own stubborn self-will. And it's the most difficult thing to do is to forgive. But do it. In Romans 12, verse 17, do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. And you can carry on reading further, and you'll see some more about that, but I'm not going to carry on with that now. I've got to try and finish in time. In 1 Peter 3, 7-9, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Treat them with respect, and therefore, treat them with respect. Where am I now? It's 5. I'm there. Treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. I've got a wife. And I know every one of you guys that are married and gone through the same thing as I have. You've had an argument before you go to sleep. And she's as stubborn as a mule, and so are you. And you will not talk, and she'll turn around and fall asleep. And the Bible says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And then you've got to wake her up and say to her, I'm sorry. Out of my heart. And I'm trying to be obedient because I'm a son of the living God and or a daughter of the living God, and I'm trying in the difficulty of being able to forgive. And then we work things out. And sometimes at midnight, the discussion starts why she's mad at me. But you've got to work it out. And you've got to go and to bed, sleep peacefully. Amen. Are you human? Praise God. So, finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. You've got to even humble yourself before your wife, not to before everybody else. Hey, it begins at home, godliness, amen? Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit the blessing. Amen. You were called to that. Do you know? No, I'm not going to say that. So, unforgiveness is normally a sin that is also committed against those you should be closest to and dear, the ones that should be dearest to you. And we seem to always hurt the ones we love. We seem to go home sometimes and pick on the ones we love. You know, family sin committed by a husband against wife, against children, against parents and against their children, brothers against sisters against brothers that will not forgive one another. And then they try and justify themselves in it. It's not a bad thing for a parent to ask their child for forgiveness for losing their temper. It's not a bad thing for a young child to go to their parents and say, I'm sorry for losing mine or what I've done. If you've been wrong, there's nothing wrong. In actual fact, your child, your wife, your friend will respect you more if you'll admit you're wrong. You know that you can grieve the Spirit of God by what you do. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You see, you're sealed. You're a child of God. Get rid of all bitterness. Same text. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind, compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ in God forgave you. Forgive. If you don't, you grieve the Spirit of God. You are preventing the presence and the power of God from moving in your life. We're moving ahead in this church towards revival. God's busy doing amazing stuff. Flow with God. Amen. Therefore, as God is, Colossians 3, verse 12 and 13. Therefore, as God has chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourself with compassion. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. How did God forgive you? He said, you horrible, good-for-nothing sinner, going to hell, you are worth absolutely nothing, but I love you. And I'm going to take you, and I'm going to take all your sin and all your worthlessness, and I'm going to take you, and I'm going to take you unto myself. And I'm going to give you everything that I am. I'm going to give you all my love. I'm going to give you all my power. I'm going to give you all my authority. I'm going to give you everything that I am. I'm going to clothe you with myself. I'm going to take your stinky, dirty, righteous rags, and I'm going to put you on a robe of righteousness, which is mine. Jesus says, I forgive you of everything that you've ever done wrong. I cleanse you, I wash you, and I purify you. Can you forgive people in the same way that Jesus forgave you? Is the question. I'm going to close there. I just want to say that I believe that people are walking around with sickness in their bodies that have been lingering and lingering and lingering and lingering and lingering and lingering. Forgive. If you have problems, come to people that you can trust that's not going to let things out, and pray with you so that you can overcome that. You might be business. Well, business is like on the side, but your relationship with your wife and everything like that. Sometimes you need a bit of counseling in that just to overcome that stronghold that is trying to prevent you guys from flowing freely in your relationship again. You know that you can actually, you know, a wife can look at her husband and think, you ugly sod. You're a real, I never knew you were so ugly. No, this is real. But then you know what? Then he comes to you and he says, oh, my darling, I'm so sorry. And you look at him and you think, you're not so bad after all. In actual fact, you're quite a hunk, actually. You know. It works in the mind. You know, the devil plays around with your mind. Get rid of that stuff. Get rid of that that's causing that conflict in your family life and your children and your business and your and even get healing to your own body. Heavenly Father, I just give you praise and honor today for your word that has gone out. I thank you, Lord, that your word finds root in every heart. I thank you, Lord, that everyone, oh God, loves you in this place. And I thank you, Lord, because they love you, they want to please you. And I thank you, Lord, that your word is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. And Lord, sometimes we are so distracted by what's going on in the world that we do not see these truths in your word. So I just pray, Lord God, that give us the ability, give us the strength, Lord, give us the grace that we may be able to do what you desire of us. And as we go, Father, today, we thank you that you go with us, that you help us, Lord, to implement your word in our lives, that we go out into the world, whoever we associate with, that we remember, Lord, that we must just forgive quickly. We will be offended, but we must forgive quickly. So, Lord, I just thank and praise you now for your Holy Spirit that leads and guides us as we go. Thank you that everyone is blessed. I thank you that every business is blessed. I thank you that every person is healed. I thank you that everyone goes and walks in faith and victory and in the love of God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. Thank you. Yeah, amen. Okay, would you like to just say that? Talk to them. Amen.
Today is the day of salvation. And this is a message that impacts every single one of us. And it doesn't matter how long you've walked in the Lord or how young you're in the Lord, there are matters of the heart today. So I'd like every head to be bowed and eyes to be closed, because we've heard this message and we know it, but there might be relationships in your life and there might be issues that you're dealing with we know nothing about, but God knows. And you might be in that place where you've been restricted. God hasn't been able to freely flow. And if you're in that place today with every head bowed, with every eye closed, we're going to make right with God. And then when you respond to God, then I want you to leave this place today and go and make right with other people. Don't let this week go by or this day go by without not resolving those issues of broken relationships through unforgiveness. And some of you might have lineage of things with unforgiveness in the family. We need to deal with these matters. This is very, very serious. God wants to break open our lives that we can experience the outpouring of His Spirit, and we hold back the outflowing. Father, we examine our hearts in the name of Jesus. And Lord, as you have spoken to us today, Lord, there may be issues, and we want to just come in humility before you and say, Father, as we give you our sins and our unforgiveness, we give it to you now. Will you bring your forgiveness to us now? That, Lord, that we can walk in the cleansing and the power of the blood of Jesus today. And we walk out of this place today and know that we have been cleansed and that we have found righteous before you today. And then, Father, I ask that will you take us where we have broken relationships today to get on the telephone, to go and visit people and to make amends in those broken relationships and work out forgiveness, Lord. I pray that, Father, that you would anoint us and enable us in this grace and this humility now to go and work those things out, that, Lord, that we can walk in the fullness of what you have for us. We ask for that now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Franco. That was wonderful. Fantastic. God bless you all. Don't rush off. We have cappuccinos at the top there, and especially if you're a visitor, you come and have your free cappuccino. Come and linger longer with us. And thank you, Franco, for blessing us.